Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q4 FY23 earnings conference call of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Utkarsh Gandhi, General Manager, Investor Relations for Glenmark Pharmaceuticals. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Lizanne. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Q4 FY23 results conference call of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. Before we begin the Q&A, let's review the overall performance of the company for the quarter ended March 31, 2023. For the fourth quarter of FY23, Glenmark's consolidated revenue was at rupees 33,737 million, as against rupees 30,191 million in the corresponding quarter last year, recording a YOY growth of 11.7%. For the 12 months of FY23, Glenmark's consolidated revenue from operations was at 129,901 million, as against 123,049 million, recording an overall growth of 5.6% on a YOY basis. In terms of key highlights for the financial year FY23, as per IQVIA March 2023, Glenmark is now ranked second in the respiratory segment of the India market, with 1.5x higher value growth compared to the overall respiratory market. Glenmark is now ranked second across dermatology and respiratory, which are the two of the key therapy areas for Glenmark in the India market. Glenmark's Europe business recorded revenues of $225 million plus, continuing the strong growth momentum over the last couple of years. Glenmark's ROW business also recorded 20%+ growth across all the sub-regions. This was driven by key product launches across respiratory and dermatology. Ryaltris was approved in the U.S. and was launched by Hikma, Glenmark's commercial partner. In FY23, Ryaltris was launched in 12 markets, either on our own or through our commercial partner. In totality, Ryaltris has now been commercialized across 27 markets in the world. Proof of concept studies were also initiated for four clinical oncology assets, which are part of the Glenmark and the Ichnos development pipeline. Study readouts for all four molecules are expected in FY24. Glenmark's partnered asset in immunology, ISB, Ichnos' partnered asset in immunology, ISB-880, progressed to phase I studies, and these were initiated by our development partner, Almirall. We'll just review each of the key businesses on the formulation side, starting with India. Sales for the formulation business in India for the fourth quarter of FY23 were at rupees 8,284 million, as against rupees 8,847 million in the previous corresponding quarter, recording a decline of 6.4%. The decline was mainly on account of the impact of divestment of few non-core brands, some impact of the NLEM price revision, as well as return of COVID-related products. Adjusted for these impacts, the India business recorded a YOY growth of 5.1% in Q4 FY23. India business contribution was at 31% for the full year FY23, compared to 33% last year. Glenmark's India business continues to significantly outperform industry growth rate. As per IQVIA Q4 data, Glenmark's India formulation business recorded a growth of 18.2% compared to the industry growth of 14.4%. Furthermore, as per IQVIA March 2023, excluding COVID portfolio, Glenmark's India business grew by 12.3% compared to overall industry growth of 9.5%. Glenmark's India business continues to be ranked 14th with a market share of 2.12% as per IQVIA March 2023. In terms of key therapeutic areas, as mentioned before, Glenmark is now ranked second in the respiratory segment, continues to be ranked second in dermatology, fifth in the cardiac segment, and 14th in diabetes. Glenmark continues to have nine brands in the IPM top 300 brands in the country. During the quarter, Glenmark's India business also improved its market share across key therapeutic areas. As per March 2023 IQVIA data, dermatology market share increased to 7.35%, The company's market share in respiratory increased to 5.59%, while the cardiac market share increased to 5.17%. And Glenmark's share in the diabetes market is 2.31%. The company launched multiple new products during the quarter and continues to gain share in some of its key launches across segments. In Q4, Glenmark became the first company to launch lobeglitazone-metformin combination, brand name LobeGM, in India for the treatment of type 2 diabetes in adults, particularly for insulin-resistant diabetic individuals. Earlier in FY23, Glenmark also launched FDCs of teneligliptin pioglitazone metformin under the brand name Vita Pyomet. Glenmark has also launched FDCs of teneligliptin, including its combinations with pioglitazone and dapagliflozin, as well as the sitagliptin and a range of sitagliptin-related FDCs, as well as lobeglitazone. This emphasizes Glenmark's overall focus on the diabetes segment. In the cardiac segment, also Glenmark launched sacubutril valsartan under the brand name SacuV for the treatment of heart failure. This product is a combination belonging to the class angiotensin receptor neprilysin inhibitors. This drug helps reduce the risk of cardiovascular related deaths and hospitalizations. Company continues to have an overall healthy pipeline of differentiated products across its key therapeutic areas, which it plans to launch in the market going forward. For the India consumer care business, primary sales for the GCC business in Q4 were 672 million with a growth of 9%, which was mirrored by a strong double-digit secondary growth of 15%. This was driven by increasing volume growth for key brand Candid Powder and LashShield. New product introductions such as LashShield Pollution Protect, LashShield Probiotic Moisturizer and Scalp Pro Shampoo also contributed to the growth. For the 12 months of FY23, GCC revenue stands at 2,330 million with a YTD growth of 30%+. Our flagship brand Candid delivered revenue growth of 17% in FY23. LashShield delivered 53% growth in Q4 and 70%+ growth in FY23. And Scalp portfolio recorded 13% growth both in Q4 as well as in FY23. Moving on to North America, the North America business registered revenue of ₹8,507 million for the fourth quarter of FY23 as against revenue of ₹8,373 million for the third quarter of FY23, recording a quarter-on-quarter growth of 1.6%. YOY growth for the North American business was 15.3%. For the 12 months of FY23, North America business contribution was at 24% compared to 25% in FY22. In FY23, Glenmark was granted approval for 10 ANDAs comprising of 6 final approvals, 2 tentative approvals and 2 prior approval supplements. Some of the notable approvals included sodium phenylbutyrate tablets, nicardipine hydrochloride capsules, clindamycin hydrochloride capsules. The company filed 6 ANDAs in the fourth quarter of FY23 and 8 ANDA applications for the fiscal year 23. Company plans to file 2 to 3 applications in the forthcoming quarter and a total of 10 to 12 ANDAs in FY24. Glenmark successfully launched 8 new products during the fiscal year 23 in the North American market, consisting of a mix of immediate release oral solids as well as an injectable product. Notable launches included ezetimibe tablets USP, abiraterone tablets USP, fingolimod capsules, sodium phenylbutyrate, nicardipine. In the fourth quarter, Glenmark also launched bimetidine injection, single-dose vials and multi-dose vials, as well as teriflunomide tablets. Glenmark was one of the first generics to launch the teriflunomide tablets. During the quarter, Glenmark also announced exclusive distribution agreement with Cedipro for the US FDA-approved mixed amphetamine immediate-release tablets. Glenmark's marketing portfolio in the U.S. Consists of 183 generic products authorized for distribution. The company has 45 applications pending at various stages of the approval process, of which 21 are Para 4 filings. The company and its U.S. subsidiary, Glenmark Pharmaceuticals, Inc., have subject to final documentation and approval from the court. After the end of the accounting year, FY23, arrived at a settlement with 3 plaintiff groups collectively representing all of the claims against the company and Merck in relation to multiple antitrust and consumer protection lawsuits, including a class action consolidated in the East District of Virginia, the U.S., for a total amount of US$87.5 million, which is payable over 2 financial years. The financial settlements will be in accordance with separate agreements entered into with each of the plaintiff groups and will be subject to final approval by the court. The settlements will make clear that the company denies each and every of the allegations against it, and the settlements are not on the basis of the company having conceded or admitted any liability, offense, wrongdoing, or illegality. Moving on to Europe, Glenmark's Europe operations for the fourth quarter of FY23 was at rupees 6,078 million as against rupees 4,968 million, recording a growth of 22.3%. For the 12 months of FY23, Europe business contribution was 14% to the total revenue as compared to 12% in FY22. The strong European business growth was driven by markets in both Western Europe as well as Central Eastern Europe. Key markets in the CEE, such as the Czech, recorded strong secondary sales growth of 20%+ during the quarter. Growth was driven by an uptick in the base business as well as new product launches. The Western European business clocked high double-digit growth for Q4, with markets like the United Kingdom and Spain growing significantly. The UK recorded strong growth on the back of key launches in the generic business as well as uptick in the branded business as well. Glenmark ranks amongst the top 15 companies in the generic market of Germany. The respiratory portfolio launched by Glenmark in Europe also continues to do well. Key brands such as Altris and Salmex continue to sustain their market share both in value terms as well as volume terms across all CE markets. In addition to these, company has also filed 4 additional respiratory products in the EU markets in FY23, which would be launched over the next 2 to 3 years. Glenmark has also entered the Italian market and will be expanding across the country in the forthcoming quarters. Moving on to the ROW region, which consists of Asia, Middle East, Africa, Latin America, and Russia CIS. For the fourth quarter of FY23, revenue from the consolidated ROW region was ₹6,856 million as against ₹5,479 million for the previous corresponding quarter, recording a growth of 25.1%. For the 12 months of FY23, the ROW business contribution was at 18%, similar to that in FY22. The company witnessed healthy growth in the base business across all sub-regions of the ROW market. In Russia, as per the YTD March and MAT March IQVIA data, Glenmark's Russia business recorded growth of 10.3% in value versus overall retail market growth of about 2%. This has been driven by all key brands, including Ascoril, Ryaltris, and Montelukast. Ryaltris also continues to sustain its momentum and is gaining further share in the market. Across the year, four new products were introduced in the market. In terms of key therapeutic areas, Glenmark recorded growth of 12% in value in the dermatology segment versus the overall dermatology market growth of about 6.7%. Amongst the dermatology companies in Russia, Glenmark ranks 11th as per IQVIA MAT March 2023. Among the companies present in the expectorant market in Russia, Glenmark continues to maintain a strong position, ranking 2nd as per the MAT March 2023 data. Moving on to Asia, the overall environment remained challenging across some of the Asian markets like Sri Lanka, Myanmar, Vietnam. Amongst the key markets, the Philippines continued to record double-digit growth, secondary sales growth for Glenmark. Dermatology and respiratory remain key therapy areas for Glenmark in Asia, contributing significantly to the overall sales. Ryaltris continues to do well, was launched by Glenmark in the Malaysian market in the quarter four, and it continues to gain value share in Australia through our commercial partner with 18.1% share across the top allergic rhinitis products. Launched in South Korea in Q3 by Yuan Corporation, Glenmark's partner, Ryaltris has also shown strong pickup in a short span time span with a double-digit market share already in the allergic rhinitis combinations market. Middle East Africa recorded 20%+ growth in secondary sales during the fourth quarter. During the financial year 23, Kenya market was impacted by macroeconomic instability. However, Glenmark's business remained resilient. Company continues to be ranked 3rd in the overall Kenya pharma market. Further, the company continued to achieve strong secondary sales growth in South Africa and Saudi Arabia. Respiratory and dermatology, again, are key therapy areas, contributing more than 60% to the overall sales of the MEA region. And Ryaltris, again, is further expected to drive growth in the respiratory segment in this region as the product gets launched across multiple markets in the first half of FY24. Finally, Latin America witnessed strong growth in Q4 as well as for the full year. Respiratory portfolio remains a key contributor for Glenmark in the Latin markets. Glenmark Brazil achieved the highest growth rate amongst the top 20 companies in its covered market, and the company maintains its rank amongst the top companies in the covered market of the chronic respiratory segment in Brazil, as per IQVIA MAT data. Secondary sales growth remains strong in Mexico as well, with Glenmark's business growing by 60%+ in value, while the overall Mexican market growth was close to 7%. We'll just cover some of the key products in respiratory, starting with Ryaltris. So for Ryaltris, as of the end of fourth quarter of FY 2023, marketing applications have been filed in more than 70 countries across the world. The product has been commercialized in 27 markets, including some of the major markets like the U.S., Europe, Australia, Russia, South Africa, and South Korea. This has been done by Glenmark through its own commercial channel or through our partners. Glenmark's partner in the EU, Menarini, initiated the commercial launch of Ryaltris in Austria, Belgium, France, and Spain in the fourth quarter of FY 2023 and intends to launch the product in additional EU markets in FY 2024. Glenmark's commercial partners in the U.S., Hikma, continue to see strong new prescription and repeat prescription growth as the allergy season progresses through the country. Hikma also recently held a clinical advisory board and received positive feedback on Ryaltris from some of the senior allergy physicians in the U.S. Glenmark's Canadian partner, Bausch, launched Ryaltris in April 2023, and Glenmark's partner in mainland China, Grand Pharma, aims to complete the ongoing phase III trial and submit the marketing authorization in the second half of fiscal year 2024. Some of the market shares that Ryaltris has gained over the key geographies are mentioned in the MD&A. Key being Australia with 18.1%, South Africa with 10.3%, Czech Republic with more than 15%, and Poland around 6%. In terms of other key respiratory products, the clinical trial continues for generic Flovent pMDI, and we expect to file the NDA in FY 2024. And we plan to file one more generic respiratory pMDI in the U.S. in FY 2024 and continue our filing momentum beyond that. Innovative R&D pipeline for Glenmark, GRC54276. GRC54276 is the HPK1 inhibitor being developed as an orally administered immunotherapeutic agent for patients with solid tumors. GRC54276 is a novel orally active HPK1 inhibitor. In preclinical studies, when administered alone, it has demonstrated substantial anti-tumor effects, which are further enhanced when administered in combination with currently available immunotherapy. GRC54276 is being developed and is being evaluated in a first-in-human phase 1 clinical study. Part 1A monotherapy phase of the study is ongoing in India since July 2022, and no dose-limiting toxicities have been observed during this period to date. Acceptance of the IND by US FDA was received in the quarter 4 of FY 23. Initiation of the Part 1B of the study for GRC54276 in combination with pembrolizumab and atezolizumab in India and in the US is planned in the first quarter of FY 24. GRC39815 is a ROR gamma inhibitor at the company's respiratory pipeline asset being developed as an inhaled therapy for a mild to moderate COPD. It is currently under phase 1 development in the US. Moving on to Glenmark Life Sciences, revenue from operations including captive sales were at ₹6,213 million as against ₹5,141 million, recording a YOY growth of 20%+. Generic API revenues in Q4 were increased by 10.4% quarter-on-quarter and increased by 15.5% YOY. The business witnessed steady growth momentum across regulated as well as emerging markets, and the CDMO business also doubled sequentially for GLS. External sales for Glenmark Life Sciences in Q4 FY 23 were at ₹3,831 million as against ₹3,283 million in Q4 FY 22, recording a growth of 16.7%. For further updates on GLS, you can log on to their website glenmarklifesciences.com. Ichnos Sciences, Glenmark invested ₹1,906 million, which is about $24 million in the fourth quarter of FY23, compared to ₹1,640 million, which is equivalent to $22 million in the corresponding quarter last year. For the 12 months of FY23, Glenmark invested ₹6,833 million, equivalent to $85.2 million compared to ₹6,627 million, which is equivalent to $89.1 million which was invested in FY22. For further updates on the pipeline and on Ichnos, please log on to their website ichnosciences.com. The pipeline update for the fourth quarter of FY23 has been published on their website. We would just like to state some of the key objectives for FY24 that we have outlined. Consolidated revenue growth is targeted to be 10 to 11%. Consolidated R&D investment would be targeted to be 8 to 8.5% of total sales. Consolidated EBITDA margin of 19 to 20% plus. Consolidated CAPEX of INR 6 to 7 billion. Priority remains to enhance free cash generation for further debt reduction, and we plan to close out at least one out-licensing deal in our innovation pipeline. Some notes to the results before we open the Q&A. Forex loss for the quarter was at Rs. 78 crores, which is recorded in other income. And Forex gain for FY23 full year was at Rs. 216 crores. Please refer to the note 5 of the consolidated financial statements pertaining to the exceptional loss with regards to settlement of the generic Zetia litigation in the US as well as divestment of select tail brands for India. For both Q4 as well as for the full year of FY23. In terms of working capital, inventory for the period ended March 31, 2023 was at Rs. 2,978 crores as against Rs. 2,499 crores as of March 31, 2022. Receivables as of March 31, 2023 was at Rs. 4,098 crores as against Rs. 3,101 crores as of March 31, 2022. And payables as of March 31, 2023 was at Rs. 2,392 crores compared to Rs. 2,289 crores last year. Total asset addition in the quarter was Rs. 190.5 crores, of which tangible asset addition was around 151 crores. Total asset addition for the full year FY23 was Rs. 632.7 crores, of which tangible asset addition was around 531 crores. Gross debt for the period ended March 31, 2023 was at Rs. 4,348 crores as against Rs. 3,670 crores as of March 31, 2022. Net debt for the period ended March 31, 2023 was at Rs. 2,905 crores as against Rs. 2,260 crores as of March 31st, 2022. Total R&D expenditure in Q4 was around Rs. 336 crores, which is 10% of revenue for operations for the fourth quarter. For the full year, R&D expenditure was at Rs. 1,240 crores, which is about 9.5% of revenue for the operations for the full year of FY23. Before we open the floor up for Q&A, I would like to introduce the management of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited on the call today. We have with us Mr. Glenn Saldanha, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. V.S. Mani, Executive Director and Global Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Brendan O'Grady, Chief Executive Officer, Global Formulation Business. With that, we'd like to open the floor up for Q&A. Over to you, moderator.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star in one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Tarang Agarwal from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Three bookkeeping questions from my side. One, what's the breakup of the exceptional item in the standalone business? It's about negative 485 crores. The second, if you could give me the equity investment amount and the loan investment amount in GHSA Switzerland as on 31st March 23. And third, what was the remediation cost for FY23 and how has it been accounted? Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Tarang. I'll answer question by question. So first is obviously the exceptional items that you wanted. So in terms of the exceptional items, the remediation cost for the quarter is 91 crores. The legal cost is about 137 crores during the quarter, okay? And so this is about 228 crores. Also, the cost of the transaction that we did, there was a cost against that about 111 crores, okay? And the remediation cost for the full year is about 219 crores. This covers both India and the US sites, okay? Both put together.
Okay. So, Mani, just one question. I mean, if remediation has been accounted for under exceptional item in the P&L, then why does it show up in the cash flow when I say the sale of intangibles net of remediation cost?
So there was some line item where I had to show it. So obviously, if you look at it, even it was, if you look at it in the balance sheet also, if you see the cash flow also, you will see there is a 57 crore line item. In that line item, you had these two brand assets sold during the year. So these two came to about 650 crores. Against that, the transaction cost came to about 260 crores. The balance, as I explained, was about remediation cost itself was about roughly about 228 crores, and the legal cost was 137. So the net of all this, you got about a 30-40 crore gap, and you had sale of some small assets and scraps. That's how it came to 57 crores.
So the 228 crore is on the cash flow, plus there is about 219 crores on the exceptional items in the P&L. Is that the right way to look at it?
Both are the same, practically. Both are the same. There is nothing different. Both are the same, 228 and broadly 228, both. I mean, the exceptional item for remediation is 220 crore, and for the quarter, if you look at it, the exceptional including legal is 228. So numbers look very close, but they are different, okay? So the remediation cost for the year has been 220 crores. The legal cost that is an exceptional item is 137 crores.
Okay, I might need some clarification. I'll probably take it offline. So, the second is the equity investment and loan investment in GHSA as on 31st March 23.
Yeah. Can I just respond to that? Give me a couple of minutes. I'll give you the answer. Okay. No issue.
Okay.
Yeah. Can we take the next question? I'll come back to this. Okay.
Sure.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So just on the remediation cost, if you could explain, in terms of this 220 crores or 91 crores, where, or is it in more of infrastructure investment, or if you could just elaborate on the quality of this remediation?
Yeah, I'll elaborate on that. See, obviously, we had at both the sites, okay, both in India as well as in the US. When you look at it, assuming for a full year, we are running 12 people, across the line. And then just the cost of maintaining the consultant itself will be almost 12 million, okay. So that is there. So in a way, if you look at it in the US itself, we spent about 22 million during the year. Plus, you'll obviously have other costs associated because you're using very big consultants, etc. So obviously, those will all add to it, okay. And you had a portion in India also about 46 crores or 40 plus crores during the quarter. And you may have little more in the coming quarter, but broadly, this is where it is. It's all written to the consultants and the people and the consultant and the people who come and work with us for that.
So effectively, this is more like only a yearly phenomenon, or should we expect more?
Actually, Tushar, it's more like a one-off, right? We had to do the remediation of Monroe, which is pretty much done now. So in Q1 onwards, it will taper down. Likewise, we had remediation costs hitting our Goa facility and the Baddi facility this year. So I think in F24, you'll see very little of remediation costs, right? It'll come off significantly.
Understood, sir. And so how much would be the real trade sale overall across the markets in FY23?
So, I mean, we did about, I think, 20-25 million last year, and this year, we see that number going to about 40-45, right, somewhere thereabouts.
Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Amit Khetan from Laburnum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. So, my first question is on debt. In the Q3 call, Mani, you specifically mentioned that we should see a reduction in net debt next quarter. but that's actually increased by about 300 crores. So what's driving this? And just continuing on that, we have a plan to be net debt free by FY26. Can you lay out a broad intermediate path in terms of where should we expect this number to be at the end of FY24 and 25? And also, how much of this 3,000 crore net debt reduction is contingent on either a partial or a full divestment of GLS or any further non-core brand sales that we might undertake?
So, just 1 second. So, there is the answer. In terms of the net debt, yes, I mean, if you look at it, during this quarter, there has been an increase in the working capital cycle. Okay, so that is probably the primary reason why it went up. And one of the big reason has been the movement in the debtors. Okay, obviously, during the last few months, if you see there is a change in the geographic mix. Okay, so obviously there is more sale out of EU and ROW, and it's lesser from India. Hence, that is the reason why the credit days have been higher in these quarters. Besides that, obviously there has been a movement because of the currency also, almost 150 crores. Because as you can imagine, the rupee also moved up. Because of the credit days, that is why the reason, I mean, the basically debtors and to some extent inventory, that is why the debt has moved up. In terms of our 26 guidance, we continue to hold that. And obviously, as you can see, we have reached a certain critical mass, okay? We are almost at 13,000 crores. We anticipate to grow further. During the current year, obviously, we had a few of the things like, you know, exceptional legal costs, in terms of exceptional remediation costs, etc. Some of these have played out. And therefore, I would assume that when we look at it over the next 3 years, we believe that with the growth in the business, there should be decent cash flows to pay down most of these debts, okay? And at least at a net debt level, we should be, positive, okay? That's what I feel.
But is there a broad range you can give of where we should expect this number to be at the end of, say, next year and the year after that?
So year-wise, it may not be so straight to give. It will obviously be a cascading one. The first year may be a little lower. The second year will be higher. As you can also see, some of the products are doing better. Some of the markets are doing better. So the EU market is doing well. The Ryaltris is doing well. US business is picking up. So obviously, there will be a momentum that will take. So I would assume that even this net debt, what we have today of almost 3,000 crores or whatever, we should see some way by which in the three-year time frame that we are speaking about, we should be able to take out most of it, okay? That's how I see. The momentum, I can't break it up year-wise, but in a broad trajectory, what I look at it looks like there is a good possibility with the business growth and not having some of the issues that we had in the current year of exceptional item, that should not be there, yeah.
Okay. And how much of this 3,000 crore debt is contingent on divestment of GLS or of other non-core brands that we might divest?
So I think clearly, I mean, the GLS divestment of the 7% at least, right, that we are required by law, right, will be important, right, to meet our net debt guidance. Obviously, keep in mind, when we put out this guidance, we had no visibility around the U.S. settlement, right, that we did. So outside of the U.S. settlement, clearly, you know, we still maintain that the business cash flows will continue to be strong to take us to net debt zero. But it's, I think now with the U.S. settlement and the quantum of U.S. settlement, right, that we did along for Zetia, it's going to be critical to take some of the GLS divestment into that to achieve the net debt zero.
Understood. And just following up on the working capital part, right? So there's been about 1,000 crores increase in receivables. So I'm not able to fully understand, given that branded formulations are typically a low working capital cycle business. So how is India and the rest of the world driving this increase?
So yeah, you're right. It's not like this is just a sudden change in the mix of the geographies in which we sell. Obviously, there is a one time that always happens. So because of the mix, you know, and more sales in EU and ROW markets, the receivable days are definitely higher there, and that is why it's laid out. Also, there is a currency movement, you know. So as you can know that during October, November, the rupee also moved up from 79 to 82. So there is about a 150 crore. So I would assume, to answer you well, going forward in the coming quarters, we should see it move down, okay? We should definitely see it move down. And as India also, you know, shows a bigger growth, which is there anyway in the underlying business, it should go down. We're looking at it about 100 days, okay, instead of this. So historically, we had a good working capital. Last year, it was a little bit challenging due to the change in the sales mix and also some supply chain issues. But otherwise, broadly, we see the trajectory going down.
Got it. And lastly, on the India business, the investor presentation mentions that the decline is on account of price revisions and return of COVID sales as well as divested brands. Can you quantify the impact of each of these factors? Because my understanding was that COVID returns were already done last year. Like, I mean, last quarter. By the end of last quarter, we were through with the COVID returns.
The numbers overall, look, I think India, the way to read it, right, is in-market growth is still very, very strong, right, for the entire franchise, right? And I think, between the three plus, we also had some changes in terms of the business model where, in oncology and some of these segments, right, oncology institutions, some of these segments, we were able, we took down some of our sales to maintain our margins. So I think it's a host of two or three different aspects, right? I mean, it's hard to give you a breakup of each of these segments. But broadly, we think, without this, right, we would be, close to, the 5% that we mentioned in the MD&A, and you could add some amount to the changes on account of the business model. So India continues to be a strong business for us, right, and continues to do well quarter on quarter.
So full year, actually, just to add, full year, Amit, if we just take out all these one-off impacts plus we add this COVID impact in the first quarter, actually the business has grown 12% plus on a reported basis. So base business growth remains strong. There obviously there's some quarterly impacts that we have had.
Got it. Just one more question on ICNOS. We've stepped up our spending to $24 million this quarter. How confident are we of keeping this contained to the $60 million target that we have for FY24? And is there any revision to the guidance here?
So there are two, three things. Okay, so obviously during the current quarter, as we had said that we are right sizing, at some stage. So obviously there were some severance costs, etc., which have come part of this current quarter. So going forward, we pretty much see it around the ballpark what we spoke about, 60 million plus for the year. It should be quarterly more or less somewhere close to that. Yeah. What, 15, 17 million a quarter?
And if you see the ICNOS MDA, they've also alluded to the fact that, the number of employees have gone down substantially, right, on account of the downsizing that we did in our Luzerne facility. So all that will start, become visible from Q1 onwards.
Fair enough. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is on the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking the question. So, Mani, on the the working capital, we are about 130 days as of FY23 end. So we were about 100 in FY22, mid-80s in FY19-2021. So there has been almost 45-50 day increase that has come through over the last 2 years. I mean, next year and a half, where do we see this number finally settling on a sustainable basis for us?
Yeah, so Nitin, just to set the record, we were at about closer to 88 or 90 days during the 2 years back. So obviously in the last 2 years, there have been two, three changes, Nitin, and looking at it. One, on the inventory side, obviously there has been a lot that went in terms of the supply chain issues, etc. I think in the year 17-21, we were pretty efficient in the way we looked at inventory and things like that. But come last 2 years, we definitely realized that we need inventory across geographies to do a better job in terms of managing the business requirements, etc. As far as the debtors go, obviously it's suddenly gone up, and that is because, as I explained in the earlier thing also, the reason that because of the change in the sales geography mix, it has been there, and to some portion was also on the currency side, because as you can see between the cash flow and the balance sheet, there is a difference of almost 140-150 crores. So going forward, Nitin, I definitely see this, when you say then at least 15 days or so coming down in the debtor side, working, I mean, inventory, we'll see how it goes along. So I think we'll come closer to, I mean, obviously there are some changes in the way the business model works. So because of that, there will be some leeway in terms of the working capital going up, and also probably, you know, people look more at the safety of supply than more than the efficiency a little less. But debtor side, definitely it will come down by around 15 days. We'll be closer to 100 in the next couple of quarters.
So that should be the 100 days of debtors should be the more sustainable number.
Yeah, more sustainable number. That's a more sustainable number.
And inventory, I think about 85 odd days is where you should probably see it holding.
Broadly, yes, Nitin. I mean, I don't think we can, we would like to go below that, because most geographies we realize there is an opportunity and we don't want to miss that.
That's helpful. Secondly, on the legal cost that you mentioned about 137 crores, what is the stop to us?
So this is basically, we had this large trials going on, I mean, for Zetia. So obviously we had a, and as you know, we settled it, I mean, we are almost settled it during the April month, for which we have taken a write down. But barring, I mean, that was majorly for that. We had to spend for that.
Okay. And so you also spoke about it earlier, but if you can just help me understand the 650 crores to 57 crore bridge, which is there on the asset sale, on the brand sales, if you can repeat that, please.
Sure, I can walk you through that. So, Nitin, so simple thing, again, the 650 crores, we had a transaction cost of almost 260 crores, okay? So basically, these were all the, you know, whatever that was related to the banking, bankers, and something on inventory debtors, all that came down. So that is one part. And barring that, obviously, one line item which is not linked to that, but which is obviously part of the exceptional item, that is why it all comes together, is this legal cost of 137 crores, and both quarters put together, the remediation cost being about 220 crores, part mainly in the US and some part in India as well. So, Nitin, as you are aware, we are remediating across three sites, and as I explained to one of the earlier participants, that obviously running so many consultants and also having people from them on board, it costs quite a lot, okay.
So lastly, on this transaction cost that you mentioned on the India brand, tail end brand transaction, so is this the ballpark that we should assume, you know, thumb rule like about a third of the realization will go towards transaction cost in these assets, assuming these kind of asset sales happen?
So, Nitin, transaction to transaction, it will be different. I agree. It will not be the same. But I am not forcing an immediate transaction right now of such a kind. Okay, so therefore, I would not assume that for that. But yes, there is definitely some cost that goes into when you do this transaction. You have banker fees. You do, so you pay people off who are going away. You also have some of these other costs. So, all put together, this is where it is. So, it could vary from something from each transaction.
And lastly, on the India business, Glenn, you know, with the divestment happening this year, so what is, you know, on a adjusted base which is there for this year, what kind of growth we can assume, given the fact that we'll have a slightly lower impact of, I mean, we'll have the whole impact of the divestment coming through for next year?
So this is Brendan. I think, you know, when we look at the India business, as Glenn mentioned before, we're very happy where it's going. We're outgrowing the market by about 1.3 times. I think as we head into this year, you know, we have continued launches that we'll do. We have a lot of launches that we did last year that will propel the growth. And I think that this year we'll grow in the high single digits in the 8-9% range. So, you know, we're happy with where we're headed with the India business. It's doing very well, and we think we'll see continued growth.
Thanks, man.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Sharda from NT Asset. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Just a question on the tax rate, that what's the outlook for next year? And this year, when I look at the cash tax rate in the cash flow statement, it's even higher than what is reported in the P&L. So how should one look at that?
So just to explain, Vikas, so if I look at the full year, before this exceptional item that we had, the PBT was about 1,634 crores. The cash tax or the current tax looks at 566, okay? And the deferred tax, if we had not taken the 280 crore, it would be about 200 odd crores, okay? But what we have to also look at is that we paid GLS dividend, okay? I mean, GLS paid us a dividend, so on that we had to pay tax. So being a related party transaction, the contra goes up, but a tax is there. So for the current quarter, we got about 216 crores, and earlier also we got about 100 odd crores. So about 76 crores is on that. Besides that, on the brand also, when we did the divestment, we had about almost a 65 to 70 crore tax on that. So if I remove these exceptions out, I get a current, an ETR of about 38-39%. And if I were to remove out, because even in this, when we do all this, we also, when you look at the cash tax, you'll get about 31%. Okay. So this is where it is. So going forward, next year also, we should look at a 38-39% and a 31%. Broadly, that's where we should be, barring for any exceptional items.
Got it. And when do you expect it to normalize to, like, say, the 25-30% kind of ETR?
It should be in less than 2 years, okay, because I still have the MAT credit in my books. Almost till last year, it was almost 1,000. This year, it is down to 700. In the next 2 years, it should be off. So within the next 2 years' time, it should be off. And also, as we prune down our expenses in Ichnos, because that's a big part where we don't get a set-off in that jurisdiction in Switzerland. So as we prune down the expenses there, that should also add to it. Okay. So I would assume broadly next year what I guided you, the year after that should be lower, and the year after that should be back to where we used to be historically.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tarang Agarwal from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sorry for harping on this again, but the $22 million remediation figure, right? My sense is it's almost 15% or more of the gross block in that business there. If you could just elucidate the nature of this, have there been substantial changes in terms of our lines or something to that order, or this is largely consultancy cost for the consultants?
So, Tarun, I don't think it is 15%. Anyway, that's a separate discussion. All I'm saying is this $22 million is purely consultant cost, okay?
Okay.
My consultants there over the year, plus, and we had multiple consultants, and that's the way it is required. So these are the costs that have gone into it, okay?
And I explained,
even if you have a dozen people, even to maintain them costs you 12 million a year, okay? Because they are costly people, and then their travel, everything put together. Besides that, obviously, the consultancy that goes into it.
I understand.
There is not too much of infrastructure into this. It may be 1-2 million, but the big cost is the consultants. Okay.
I understand.
This is there across the industry. Okay. Most people, when they do these kind of remediation, all see these kind of expenses.
I understand, sir. What would be the gross block for that plant?
It will be closer to about 250 million, yeah, broadly.
Got it. And just wanted a follow-up on the GHSA question.
Just give me 2 minutes. I'll give you the answer. Yeah, just wait. I'm just waiting for the answer.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. India business, just a clarification here. So, the total sales which are affected or which have been, sold, the assets which have been sold, what is the number again, please?
About 150 crores annualized across the two divestments.
This is across the assets, right?
Yeah, across both the divestments that we did, Razel as well as the dermatology assets.
Okay. And COVID, I believe this is the last quarter, if at all there is any base, right?
That's correct.
Okay. And how's the response in sacubitril valsartan? Normally in cardiac, we see a very good leading position. Somehow don't see your name in the top five. So what is happening there?
Sorry, I missed that last part.
Sacubitril valsartan.
Okay. Can you just repeat that, Prakash, the last part of your question?
Yeah, no, sacubitril valsartan, so I think cardiac, you are very strong.
Yeah.
And normally you are among the top five, top seven players. How has been the response? I don't see your name in the top five.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, cardiology is a strong area for us. We're number five now in the cardiology segment. SacuV we launched last year, so we're continuing to promote it, and we'll continue to see market acceptance of the product. So we think it'll be a good product. It continues to do well. But overall, cardiology is strong for us, as is respiratory and derm, as you know.
Also, Prakash, keep in mind, in heart failure, we have a brand called Eptis, right, which is among the leaders there. Okay, so I think we look at the whole franchise, okay, between SacuV and Eptis, right? We are clearly among the leaders in heart failure, right, in that space. In addition to, of course, antihypertensives, which is the whole Telma franchise, right, which is massive.
No, I'm just trying to understand, have we stepped down a bit in terms of promotion overall?
No, in fact, I think, our India business, we are really doing well in the 4-5 segments that we operate, right? Whether it's derm, respiratory, cardiovascular, these three are clearly outperforming the market. It's the diabetes where we are probably not doing as well, and that's purely because of the pressure on brands like your Teneligliptin and your Remo, right? Compared to some of the new launches that have happened.
But even in the diabetes segment, with the number of products we launched last year, we'll gain share as we go through this year. They'll get accretive. So I think as we move to the second half of this year, the diabetes franchise will continue to improve for us. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And did I hear right? On a reported basis, we are looking at 8 to 10% kind of growth.
That's correct. Yep, that's correct.
After accounting for 150 crore revenue not being there, right? So
That's correct.
Okay, lovely. And on the MR side, what is the count now?
So it's about 4,800, Prakash.
Okay, and this is after we would have let some MRs go with the brand sale, right? So this is the revised number.
Yeah.
Okay, and the other question is on the gross margin side. Normally Q4 we have a 200 basis point normally higher gross margins. So is this getting normalized? There's no Q4 phenomena seasonality or anything to read into it?
Yeah, partly because India sales were a little lower, the margins are better in that. So obviously that had its own impact there. And the mix, it's a mix. But on a full year we did well, considering that the first half was really tough in terms of the input cost, etc.
Okay, and I missed your comment in the US also. So you did okayish. I mean, didn't see any large products. So is it the seasonality which is playing out, or you got one-time contracts, or what is playing out in the U.S. and what is the outlook there?
No, so I think, if you look at the U.S., we saw pretty good improvement last year, quarter over quarter growth, and it's not really any one specific thing. It's really a combination of a few things. First of all, our service levels are improving, which is leading to volume growth. I think we're doing a good job on new product launch execution. We have probably 12 to 15 products this year that will launch. We've been able to take advantage of some market disruption, which has a positive pricing impact. Some of the existing pricing erosion has eased a little bit, and just generally improved execution by the team. So I think if you take all of those things into account, that's leading to the stabilization in the growth in the U.S., and we expect that to continue into this year. I think we'll see growth in the 4 to 6% range. I think we put 5 in the MDA, so mid-single digits.
Okay. And one more, if I may, on the plants, you mentioned the substantial, expenses and on consultation, et cetera. So when are we, what is the status of all the three plants, and when do we expect, I understand remediation is over. So have you invited FDA for inspection across three facilities, and what is the expense that you're looking for this year?
So I think, if I go through each of them, right, so Monroe, now we are, as we mentioned, we're pretty much done with the remediation, right? We are now going to start taking batches in Q2, and I'm guessing in parallel FDA should show up around anytime Q2 and beyond, right? So hopefully in second half of this year, we should have commercial sales coming out of Monroe, right? The Goa and the Baddi facilities, I think the bulk of the remediation work will get over in Q1. So this quarter will be pretty much done with most of the remediation work. And I think post that, we will invite the agency.
Okay. So first half, you will kind of continue to see the consultation expenses?
not for Monroe, but to a small extent in some of the India sites.
Okay, great. And one more, if I may, on the balance sheet side, there's other current financial liabilities. If you could explain what is that related to?
Yeah, yeah. So, Prakash, this is basically the 800 crore provision that we have made that has to, I mean, obviously this is just a provision. Next year is when we'll pay all that. So that is why it is there. So
what is sitting there, sir?
It is, that is a 800 crore, that liability now for the ZTR that we have provided, no exceptional item.
Yeah, so last year also there was a number of 400 crores, so...
No. This is 800 crores this year, yeah. So, I mean, you are asking what all are sitting there?
Yes.
No, basically this is the major one that has got added this year. I'll just answer the other one also. So you have accrued expenses there, you will have interest accrued but not due, you will have unclaimed dividend there, you will have some employee dues there, you will have sundry creditors for capital goods there. So these are the things that come in a normal balance sheet.
Accrued expenses related to what, sir?
Normally your company has expenses, no, which you will provide for at the end of the year. Obviously you may not have received all the bills, etc. You provide for it at the end of the year. So that will be a provision. So whenever there are provisions, they will find themselves into the liability because you are not paid for them till. Once you pay for them, the liability disappears.
And what is the amount, sir?
So the total accrued expenses would be roughly about 400 crores across all geographies. Okay,
okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. Just one on the Europe business. We've seen a good QOQ growth. I picked up the opening remarks, but just wanted some additional detail around this and what's the kind of sustainable run rate for Europe. Thanks.
So thanks for the question. If you look at the European business last year, we grew over 20%. I think that we'll continue to see that kind of growth this year in Europe. And we're doing well across both the generic and the specialty segments. The respiratory business is particularly strong for us in Europe across all markets. We have launched Ryaltris in numerous markets, either directly ourselves or through our partner Menarini, which also does extremely well. We've had some opportunities to take advantage of some pricing disruption in some markets, and we're expanding into Italy, I think, as you know. So all of those things are driving the growth in Europe, and as I said, we expect that to continue this year in probably the 20% range. So very strong results coming from Europe, good growth market for us, which will add to the overall growth of the formulations business.
Yes. So like a 20% growth for full year, Europe, you're saying, sorry, I missed that.
In that range.
Got it. And just the second question is on real.
So Shyam, just one more point to add to what Brendan is saying. Europe, you know, we had four respiratory filings in Q4, right, which will be really big for us in F25 and beyond. So I think there is a great runway for us that we're seeing in the European market.
Got it. Just a second question on Ryaltris. I think you called out like 20, 25 million of annual sales from the first year, like what about 23. You guided that to double, let's assume. So what? So Glenn and team, just what are some of the lessons we have learned, because this has been our first large product and it's global, you're filing it in many places. So anything that we have picked up, understood, is that there's some challenges? So just your learnings from Ryaltris so far. Thanks.
I think Ryaltris, you know, obviously the biggest challenge has been the regulatory side of things, right? Understanding the regulatory requirements in different markets, actually putting together some kind of a launch runway, reference pricing in different markets, and how do you make sure you launch the products in the right market in the right time. So I think these are some of the big learnings for us on Ryaltris. However, the product continues to do exceedingly well overall. In fact, you know, it's beating all our estimates, right, in all the markets that we are selling it in. And, you know, we still haven't, even this 40, 45 million that we're guiding to doesn't include markets like China, markets like Brazil, many of the big markets, right, are not even, we've not even launched in these markets, right? And the U.S., we're just
US
launching.
Just getting going. Exactly.
Exactly. So it's very early days. Even this year will be very early days for Altus. And wherever we've launched, the product seems to be doing exceedingly well.
Thank you and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Nitin. On the interest cost, you know, how should we look at interest costs from here on, given the fact that we are in a gross it is up and we are a rising interest rate situation? So what is it that we should work with, number?
So broadly in the last quarter, if you look at Nitin, we looked at about 109 crores. So plus minus 5-7% is what we will look at. So I think broadly that is where we look at next year. Yeah. And as we obviously bring down our loan component, it will definitely come down. Yeah.
And almost all of our 4,000 or so debt is there is in USD.
Yes, broadly barring some 300 odd crores, which is short term in nature, rest of it is all dollar denominated. Yeah.
So our effective cost comes to about 10% on the gross end.
Yeah, that's the reason why, because of, you know, now today LIBOR has gone up and few are in fixed rate, some of them are in, most of them are in floating, so obviously you have a higher interest cost outgo now.
And again, on the US, how many products do we see launching this year, you know, given whatever is happening on the regulation of the various sites?
Yeah, so I think that we'll probably launch somewhere in the range of 12 to 15 products this year in the U.S. Could be slightly more, depending upon approvals and so forth, but probably in the 12 to 15 range for new product launches in the U.S.
And also, I think to add to what Brendan is saying, there are we still have, you know, Monroe will re-commercialize, right? Hopefully in the second half of this year. We also have some site transfers that we're doing for some of the Buddy products, right, which should kick in the second half. So I think we have a reasonable runway to the U.S. Pipeline for the year.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Utkarsh Gandhi for his closing comments.
Yeah, thanks. We'll just read the disclaimer before we end the call. This document and the results discussion has been prepared by Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. The information, statements and analysis made in the documents describing the company or its affiliates' objectives, projections and estimates of forward-looking statements. These statements are based on current expectations, forecasts and assumptions that are subject to risk and uncertainties which could cause actual outcomes to and results to differ materially from these statements, depending upon economic conditions, government policies, and other incidental factors. No representation or warranty, either expressed or implied, is provided in relation to these documents. The document should not be regarded by recipients as a substitute for the exercise of their own judgment. The company undertakes no obligations to update or revise any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. With this, we can end today's call. We thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.